Amen.
You guys like singing Christmas carols?
Yes.
I love it. I love singing. Well, good. So I got a little trivia for you, some Christmas carol trivia. If you know the answer, don't blurt it out. Raise your hand if you think you know the answer. Finish off this sentence from a carol. Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you know what the next line is? Ah! All right, well, you got a little hint. I'll give it. Okay, see if you know the next one. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. Anybody else? Raise your hand. It's getting easier because it's the same song. Next line. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king. And then the last one, said the mighty king to the people everywhere, but it changes every time, so you guys might get it confused. So now that you guys are all curious, some of you already think you know, some of you have no idea what we're talking about, now say it out, blurt it out this time. So, said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. So you got, do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Listen to what I say. This is actually what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm using this as a context for this morning's message. So it wasn't just trivia, just for fun. You're going to hear some of my heart behind this. But let me pray that God would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what he wants to do this morning. So God, we thank you that you are in this place, Lord God, that you are in the Christmas season. We celebrate you, God. And so we thank you that we're gathered here today because we want to know you, Jesus. We want more of you in our life, God, that even if we've known you all of our lives, God, we want more of you. And so we just pray that you would impart yourself to us, that you would be Emmanuel, that you would be God with us in this next moment, God, and that we would taste and see your goodness, God, that we would just be enlightened by your Holy Spirit to who you are and what you want to do in our lives, God. And so we just pray a blessing and anointing over the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So that those lines, do you see what I see? I heard this Christmas carol, listened to Christmas music. Anyone else listen to Coast 103.5 Christmas music all day long? This is the only season of the year where I actually listen to FM. I listen to AM pretty much every day in my work truck or listen to podcast sermons. And so this is the time of year where the FM gets turned on and I listen to Christmas music. And this song came on and I realized I got the words kind of confused sometimes when I was singing it. And so I looked up the lyrics. I was like, man, that's some powerful words in there. And lo and behold, that's where I kind of got direction from this morning's message. And I thought we're going to go somewhere else. I'm going to get to the Bible verse I thought I originally was going to go to, and we'll get there, and they're connected. But do you see what I see? I think that's a huge question that I could ask right now. I could say, do you guys see what I see? There's times when I pray for our church that there's a worship song that comes on often when I'm preparing my messages where it says, I see heaven falling in this place. I see glory falling on their faces. I see heaven. I see these things. And so there's this idea of what do you see? Do you just see with your natural eyes or do you have an ability to see in the supernatural? Do you see what I see? I see in this church, I see an army rising up. I see broken lives being made new. I see relationships being restored. I see the joy of the Lord on people's faces. I see a church that I love being a part of. I see a church that loves to be together. What do you see? There's all these things that you can say. What do you see? And I want us this morning to take a moment. Do we see what God sees? Do we hear the voice of the Lord? Are we knowing what's on the mind of Christ? Are we aware of these things? And Jesus, he talks about this often, actually. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to reference it. In Mark 8:18, Jesus, it's right after Jesus had fed the 5,000. Well, it was more than 5,000 men, plus all the women and children. So thousands of people Jesus had just fed. Right after that, they get in a boat, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee. And during this trip, he's talking to his disciples, the 12 disciples, and Jesus are on the boat. They're going across, and he's talking and teaching, and he makes this comment, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he's talking, and as he's teaching and talking, the disciples start talking to each other, leaning over to each other. Hey, did you bring any bread with you?
Oh, no, I didn't bring any. Ask John. Hey, John, did you bring any bread? Oh, I didn't bring any either. And they're all trying to do it like quietly. Well, Jesus, you know, anyone ever done that in school where the professor's up front talking, and you're trying to talk quietly to the person next to you, not get caught? That's what was going on in the boat. You know, they're talking to each other, trying to make sure Jesus doesn't hear them. Yeah, we're paying attention to what you're saying, but they're figuring out if they have any food on the boat. And they realize, oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. We forgot the bread. Jesus is upset with us because we forgot the bread. And then Jesus makes this comment. To me, this is the Ryan version, not the New Living Translation, not the New King James. This is the Ryan version when I read the story. He's like, are you kidding me? Guys, what are you talking about? Are you serious? He didn't hear him with his audible ears. It didn't take rocket science to know what they're talking about. I think these disciples are a little not so great at talking to each other, trying to keep it hidden. But Jesus could hear what they were saying, even if it wasn't with his audible ears. He saw what was going on. And he's saying, what's wrong with you guys? I just fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. I'm not worried about our meal as we get across this little lake. I'm not worried about that. And he says this in Mark 8:18. He says, having ears, do you not hear? Having eyes, do you not see? And do you not remember? Ties right in with the lyrics of the song. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Jesus is saying that right here. Guys, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? You're just looking at surface level and you're missing what I'm talking about. And I think, how often does Jesus say that about me? Up in heaven with the angels. Good golly, what's wrong with Ryan? Does he not see? Does he have eyes to see? Doesn't he have ears to hear? Doesn't he remember the things I taught him already? And I think that's often, maybe it's a wrong perspective, but that's my relationship with Jesus. Is I think sometimes I've shared lots of times that I feel Jesus's slap across my face, like, Ryan, wake up! What's wrong with you? Do you not see? And that's how he talks to me. I don't know how he talks to you. Maybe he's real nice and kind to you, but for me, he's not always so nice and kind. But I need that. I need a dad who disciplines me, because I know God's word says that whom he loves, he disciplines. So to me, it's I know that he loves me because he's disciplining me. But Jesus, he had no problem talking to disciples that way. So I wanted to talk to me that way. What's wrong with you, Ryan? Don't you have eyes to see? He says this again later on in John 4:35. He says, wake up and look around. Wake up and look around. He's talking to disciples again, right after they missed it again. Wake up and look around. The fields are ripe to harvest. Do you not see what I see? Jesus is constantly saying this to disciples. Do you see what I see? There's people that need to be ministered to. There's people that are ripe. They're ready to receive the gospel. Do you see what I see? Jesus keeps saying this, and you heard me pray this almost every Sunday morning. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is constantly saying this. Before he tells a parable, or even after he says the parable, he'll say, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. So there's something about this where we have natural eyes, we have natural ears, but we're living, hopefully, not just in a natural kingdom, we're living in the kingdom of God. That we have this nature, we have this natural sin nature, and then we're born again, and we're led by the Spirit, and we're born into the kingdom of God. And are we seeing the kingdom everywhere we go? Are we seeing things the way he sees them? And I loved another story. I was reading through David's life, and then I got through 1 and 2 Samuel into the Kings, and then now I'm ending up in 2 Kings. And reading through that, and I read this story about Elisha, and how there was a time where he could hear things that weren't even be said right in his presence. He could hear what was going on in the enemy's camp. The king would get together his advisors, and they would close behind closed doors. They'd come up with a plan how to attack Israel. And Elisha could hear the king's plans. And he would go tell the Israelite king, hey, don't go over there. They're setting up an ambush. Don't go around there. And this kept happening. The king, the wicked king, was getting mad. How do they keep knowing? Who in here in my inner circle is sharing the secrets to Elisha? How does he know all these things? And they're like, no, Elisha, he's this man of God. He can hear what we're saying right now. And they're like, what? And so he's, all right, tell me where Elisha is. And they find out that he's in the city. And he says, all right, he sends his whole army. And this army goes and gets there at nighttime, and they surround the entire village, completely surrounded, chariots everywhere. There's no way. There's no way Elisha is getting out of there. There's thousands, tens of thousands of soldiers all around this little village. And during the nighttime, it's starting to get dusk in the morning, and Elisha's servant wakes up, and goes outside, and maybe went up on the rooftop, and he sees the enemy army is just completely around. And he knows, I'm a dead man. I'm with Elisha. We're dead. And so he goes back into the house, and he tells Elisha, master, We're surrounded. The enemy found us, and we're here. We're dead. And Elisha says, oh, man, if you only knew, those that are with us are greater than those that are against us. And then he prays this. In 2 Kings, he prays, in 2 Kings 6:17, he says, oh, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Open his eyes that he might see. And so his servant goes back up onto the rooftop, and he looks, and he doesn't just see the enemy army. He now sees the heavenly armies, the fiery chariots. All this host of heavenly angel armies are all around, and they far outnumber the wicked enemy's armies. And he's overwhelmed. He's like, oh my goodness. His eyes are open, and he sees in the heavenlies. That's my prayer this morning as your pastor, is that we would have eyes to see, that we could be able to say what that Christmas carol says to other people. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Let me tell you. Listen to what I say. Let me tell you. This is what I see. Do you see the plans the Lord has for you, for your own life? I know Jeremiah 20:11, we quote a lot, but do you know? Do you know? Do you see the plans that God has for you? They're good. They're to prosper you. They give you a future and a hope. Do you see those plans? Do you have hope? Unshakable. No, I see it. No matter what. No matter what goes on in my life, no matter how everything's wrong or difficult, I see that God's going to work together all these things for good. I'm going to rejoice all the more gladly in my sufferings. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. No, I can see what God's doing. He's engineering. He's behind all this. His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. I don't fully understand it, but I don't need to understand it. Because I know, I see that God, he's working. You hear me say this a lot as a pastor. God's on the move, and he's up to something good at Osborne. I constantly see, I see God. I see God moving in our midst. He's doing good things. And I want us to be a people, a church, that we see these things. Do you see what I see? And it's important. It's this idea that the eyes and the ears, they receive. They take in information, right? The eyes and the ears, I don't talk with my eyes, right? I can't make noise out of my ears. But I can receive information. I see things, I hear things, but then it's my mind and my mouth that they can both receive. My mouth, my mind can receive, but they also can give out. My mind can perceive and know, and my mind can then tell my body what to do. My mouth can taste and see the Lord is good, but my mouth can also say things and declare things. And so it's important that we're doing both. We have an ability to see and to receive, and then we have an ability to do something with what we've received, make a decision, say something, go do something with what we've received. And so I love this idea that there's tasting, all these things, I can't have time, I have all these verses here, and I'm not even trying to get into all of these. But there's tons of verses that talk about seeing, hearing, knowing what God is doing in your life. One that seems to be confusing to me for a while, and I think there's some of you, that I'm not going to try to give a whole sermon on this right now, but I've heard some people say they didn't fully understand. Psalms 24:7 says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? God of the angel armies. King. He is King glory. It's the same thing to me that Elisha, the God of heavenly armies, the Lord of hosts, God Almighty, whatever translation you want to read. I want God Almighty. I want to see. I want to open up my eyes. I want to lift up my gates, my ears, my eyes, and receive, and let the King of glory come in. I want to perceive that he's here, that I'm the temple, that he lives in here. I want to know that, and I want to be able to declare that. And see, I think there's progression here, even in this carol song. Do you see the plans and purposes that God has for your life? Do you hear his voice? I've shared with you several times, I've never heard the audible voice of God. There's several people in this room that have. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I can tell you, one of the first times, I've shared this a lot, first time I was, one of my first sermons here as a youth pastor, I said, I'm one of those weird people. I'm not like, what's that old movie, The Sixth Sense? It's not like I see dead people, The Sixth Sense. I don't see it. No, I hear God. I have an ability to hear God. I'm one of those strange people that the God who created the entire universe, I know him. I hear him. He talks to me. I hear him. And I can still remember, and I know I share this a lot, because this is something that's deep within my heart that I want to be able to convey to you guys and listen to what I say, because it's this idea that I do see Jesus. I do hear him. I do know him. So the progression is, listen to what I say. Because I see him, because I hear him, because I know him, it's not out of arrogance. It's not because, well, listen to what I say. My way is better than your way. No, because I know him. Listen to what I say. Listen to me. There's authority when you say that to somebody, when you actually know him, when you actually hear his voice. So my goal is, I know I say this a lot. One of the first times I preached, I said, man, who here has ever heard God tell you that he loves you? And I was literally floored. I can still remember the emotions. And I don't know if I physically took a step back when it was a small number of hands that went up that said in this sanctuary that said that they'd heard God say that he loves them. And it still breaks my heart to this day because God wants to speak to you. He is speaking. But we've got to have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And I've got to help you. That's my job as your pastor is listen to what I say. I know him. I hear him. I see him. So listen to what I'm going to say through his word. Apply it to your life. There's things here that it's for your benefit that you are able to hear God's voice. Do you see the plans and purposes God has for your life? Do you hear the Heavenly Father speaking to you? Do you hear him calling out your name? It says that Jesus, he stands at the door and he knocks. Do you hear his knocking and his calling out to you? Not just for the day of salvation, not the day that you became a Christian and born again. Do you hear him daily? I believe he's knocking on my heart daily. Do I have ears to perceive what he's knocking and calling me to? Do you see? Do you hear? Do you know? Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you have the peace of God? We talked about this last week. That guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Is your mind settled? In Colossians 3, that same chapter, it talks about fix your eyes on what's above. Fix your thoughts on things that are above. Whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, noble, of good report, let your mind think about these things. That you have the ability, as Christ followers, to take every thought that comes in your mind and subject it to the obedience of Christ. This goes with the idea that your mind, your ears, your eyes, they can take in information. Your eyes, they have the ability to take things in. They can't make things come out of your eyes. But your mind, it can receive things. And as it receives things, it has the ability to say, I want to keep receiving that. Or no, I want to say no to that. Your mind has the ability. Do you take every thought and say, okay, is that thought uplifting? Is it good? Is it noble? Is it right? Let me subject it to the obedience of Christ. I'm under Christ's authority. He's the king of my life. He's the Lord of my life. Would he want me to still think about these things? No, he wouldn't. All right. Then I'm going to subject it to the obedience. I'm not an emotion-led person. I'm not just I don't go get tossed to and fro with every thought that comes to my mind. No, I'm spirit-filled. Christ lives in here. And I'm going to subject every part of my being under his obedience. So that thought, does it belong there? No. I'm going to tell that thought, listen to what I say. You don't belong there. There's this ability that you can do this. And it's important. I love that it says, do you have the mind of Christ? And then this idea, listen to what I say. It sounds pretty bold and pretty almost offensive. Listen to what I say. Probably the times I say that the most is to my own kids. I say that to my kids because I don't like my kids? Because I don't want what's best for them? No. Because I see things they don't see. I'm a little bit older. I'm a little bit wiser. I hear things. I know how to hear God's voice. I know how to speak into their lives. I know God. So I'm saying with the authority as their parent, listen to what I say. It's not because I'm mean. It's not because I don't like you and I'm kicking you when I say it. It's because I want to impart wisdom to you. I don't want you to get hurt. I want you to prosper. So listen to what I say. So there's that aspect. Then there's also this other aspect when they're disobedient and there's sin. And I'm addressing that sin. I'm saying, listen to what I say. You may not do that. And I think, how often do we do that in our own lives? Not just to kids. I just think of how we are under authority, hopefully. If you're under Christ's authority, I think of that often, that Roman centurion, I too am a man under authority. I can tell this person, go. I can tell this person, come. Listen to what I say. And they listen to what I say. And he says, but I'm under authority. I don't just have authority. I'm under the authority of the Roman Empire. I'm under Caesar. Whatever Caesar tells me to do, I have to do. And whatever I say, these people better listen to me because I got Caesar backing me. It's the same idea.
listen to what I say, because I'm under authority. I'm under Christ. I'm subject to the obedience of Christ. So there's this ability to tell your thoughts, listen to what I say. There's an ability to walk into a situation and see that the enemy's at work. And you say, this is not what God's design is. I can see this is not God's plan. This is not God's best. I can hear my Father's voice, and he's saying, this is not what he wants. Because I know him, I'm going to now, under his authority, say, listen to what I say. Enemy, get under my feet. You demons, it says, Jesus says this, right? You're going to have authority to cast out demons. This is where it comes from. It's don't get weird on me. It's this idea of being connected. When you see Jesus, when you hear his voice, and when there's intimacy that you know him, then there's this ability to say, listen to what I say. Because it's not under my own authority. It's under Christ's authority. Listen to what I say. And that's what I see. I see an army of Osmond Neighborhood Church. I see an army of soldiers that are getting to be able to see him, know him, hear him, and say, listen to what I say. Putting the enemy under our feet everywhere we go. Listen to what I say. It's important that we get this. And tying this into a Christmas text, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to see how this connects to a story here. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 25. This is after Jesus was born. This is after the shepherds came. Jesus, at 8 years old, was circumcised, was given his name Jesus. And then we're in this story in verse 25. This is probably around 40 days after Jesus was born. Jesus is a month old, month and a half old. And this is the story of Jesus for the very first time going to Jerusalem. For the very first time going to the temple. Jesus, the Son of God, for the very first time on the Temple Mount. This is what we're about to read. In verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." I'm not going to preach that, but man, I would love for that to be said about me. This man was just and devout. He was waiting for Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Wow, what an incredible testimony. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" We're going to stop there. It had been promised to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. And there he saw Jesus. And it says, "Now I have seen the salvation. I've seen your salvation. God, I've seen it." He had eyes to see. And I love this about Simeon. It talks about how the Holy Spirit was upon him. And to me, I put the correlation to how when Jesus entered the Temple Mount, that this old, old man who was on the death's doorstep, maybe had a cane, was walking, looked fragile, that when Jesus came on the Temple Mount, he saw Jesus. The Holy Spirit gave him this ability to just leap for joy, just like John the Baptist was anointed the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, that when Mary, pregnant with Jesus, came into the house, that John the Baptist was leaping for joy in his mother's womb. It's the same thing. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and Simeon, upon seeing Jesus, he saw, he knew that was the Messiah. How did he know? Because there was neon lights pointing to him? Because he had met Mary and Joseph before? Does it even say that, I'm just putting this out there, maybe Simeon didn't even know that it was going to be a baby. I don't know. It doesn't say. There's other things. Maybe there's proof that he maybe knew it was going to be a baby, but maybe he didn't know. He didn't know all the details. Put it that way. He didn't know all the details. But when the Savior of the world came in, "My eyes have seen your salvation, God. I've seen it." He had eyes to see. And you read the story. It keeps going. Then Anna, this prophetess, this old woman that she'd been a widow for 70 plus years. She was there in the temple praying night and day, day and night. All every day, she was there interceding and praying. That she too recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And she went around telling everybody, "That's the Messiah! The Messiah's been born! He's here! He's being anointed today!" It's amazing that Jesus' first time onto the Temple Mount, there was two.
two people that recognized. They had eyes to see. They had ears to hear what the Holy Spirit was saying. And they shared that. They just said, listen to what I say. Why is that? Because they had spent this time. It says Simeon was a devout man. He was faithful. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was led by the Holy Spirit to go there. It says this lady that she was every single day praying and interceding. She was devout. She was faithful. She had eyes to see. She had ears to hear. She interceded. She prayed what God laid on her heart. And so she would pray these things. So she was in this place where she had eyes to see, ears to hear. So when Jesus showed up, they recognized they had eyes to see, ears to hear. And they had this mouth to declare, listen to what I say. They began to prophesy. It's so important that we become these same people. Like Simeon. Like Anna. I love that verse, verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. That's my prayer, is that everyone in this room would be able to say that. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that our eyes have been opened, right? The gospel, it's been revealed. The good news, we're trying to share that with people everywhere we go. It's been revealed, but there's people who have eyes to see it and eyes not to see it. Hearts that are ready to receive. Jesus gives the story, the parable, right, of the good soil. There's people that are receiving and hearing the word all the time, receiving the gospel, but are they actually growing and bearing fruit? Are they multiplying it? What kind of eyes do they have? What kind of ears do they have? And that's what I'm saying to you this morning, but I believe the Lord is saying, what kind of eyes do we have? What kind of ears do we have? Are there things that are happening in our life? Is there salvation? Is Jesus revealing himself to us? And we're completely oblivious, unaware. Are there circumstances, situations in your life where you would love for God to show up and he's actually already there? He's already there. We just don't have eyes to see it. We keep praying for God to perform a miracle when the miracle is already there and we just don't see it. That's my prayer this morning, is that we'd have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart and a mind to know and perceive. You know, it says Simeon begins to prophesy. He says these good things that he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. He's coming for all people. And then he goes on in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He's prophesying. He's saying that it's not all going to be good. It's actually going to come a time where, Mary, you're going to feel like there's a sword in your soul, prophesying that Jesus is going to be the suffering servant as well, that he's going to die on the cross, that there's going to be pain involved, that Jesus, for those who have eyes to see, he's salvation. He's the rock of our salvation. For those who don't have eyes to see, he's the stumbling block. For those of us who are walking with Christ and trying to build our life upon him as the rock, he's our chief cornerstone. When we go through trials and tribulations, when the storm is all around, he's that rock that we cling to. Jesus, you're my sure foundation. When everything else gives way, you're my Savior. For those that are going through the storm that don't see Jesus, they have a plan. Here's how I'm going to get out of this situation. And there's a rock, and it's in the way. Man, the stupid rock's in the way. And it might hit the side of their boat and it causes them to sink. It's the same rock. It's the same Jesus. Either the chief cornerstone or a stumbling block. I know we think we understand that somewhat in salvation context. But do you understand that in your circumstances, in what you're going through right now? I don't know what it is. I do believe there's specific individuals. I think there's things that God's saying overarching. He's trying to teach us in general this morning. But I believe there's some of us in this room, individuals, you have something specific that God is trying to address this morning. That there's something that's difficult for you, something that, man, you wish God would just show up. And maybe some of those things you're stumbling over, God's saying, would you open your eyes to see that I'm trying to shipwreck you, because I don't want you to go down this path. I want you to build your life upon me, not upon this other thing you're searching after.
And the verse I really felt in my heart from the beginning of this past week that I want us to get to is Proverbs 25:2. So turn with me to Proverbs 25:2. And I'll just read it to you. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of a king to search out a matter. Wait, what? It's the glory of God to hide something, to conceal something, and it's the glory of the kings to search it out and to find it. What are we talking about? Well, there are different interpretations of that, and I agree with a lot of them, actually, but the one that I think bears most witness for us this morning specifically is, I'll do this first. I'll give you an analogy to explain this. I have 4 young kids. None of them are 2 years old anymore. They've all grown out of that phase. But when my kids were about 2 years old, they're just beginning how to walk and do all those things, when it came Easter time, it was the glory of their father to go hide Easter eggs out on the lawn in the middle of the grass, the bright, bright pink one right there in the middle of the green grass. It was the glory of the dad to go hide a treasure, something that had candy, a toy, something they wanted, something they would value and treasure, something that would bless them. I would go hide it in the middle of the green grass. And it was the glory of my 2-year-old to toddler to walk out there, a pink egg, and to find this pink egg and open up and say, I got a toy. And they were so happy to get that toy. It was the glory of that, my offspring, and we are kings and priests, the kings and queens of God, or royalty. It was the glory of my 2-year-old to find that toy and receive that blessing. As my kids get older, Benjamin, my 11-year-old, I'm not going to get a big pink egg and put it in the middle of the green grass. It's the glory of the father to go conceal that thing, to go get a camouflage green and brown egg and put it behind the bush and put some dirt on top of it and just barely have a little bit showing. That's the glory of the father to go conceal that matter. And it's the glory of my son to say, oh man, I don't see any eggs. They're out here? And to start digging for them. And yeah, and there's money in some of those eggs. Wow, there's money. Oh, now an 11-year-old, he wants to go find it, not just candy. He wants to find something. It's the glory of that 11-year-old to go find that and to search out that matter. It'd be one thing for me just to hand out candy to my kids. Here's some candy, which would be nice. But it's actually much more enjoyable to do something, to hide it, for them to discover it. It's not just receiving the gift. It's actually something in the treasure hunt. Something in discovering it that makes them feel proud that I found this. Something that makes me enjoy watching my kids be blessed. This is what this verse means. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. There's things that are hidden that God actually hides on purpose. What a mean God. He hides things from us. No, because he wants us to search them out. There's actually benefits to our own maturity in searching things out. There's times where I'm asking God, God, I'm a pastor. I keep saying I hear your voice, and I've got to make this decision, and I don't hear you at all. What do you want me to do in this situation? And I did my prayers. I've been praying for a whole week. Nothing happened. God, so I step it up a notch. All right, then I'll fast and pray for a day. Still nothing. And I keep searching, and I keep going deeper, and I keep searching further. God, I need your voice. I become desperate. God, I need to hear you. There's something about that that God loves. He loves to see a heart that's passionate and intent in pursuing him, not just giving me everything, that is developing within me maturity to discipline myself, that God, you are my number one. I don't want to just say it with my lips. I want to prove it with my actions. That you are my number one. I'm going to seek you early in the morning. I'm going to seek your face. Late at night, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. God, I need you. I can't live life without you. There's something about this searching process that actually is good for me and good for him at the same time. And what I love is I love how the Bible brings these things together. Proverbs 25:2 says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. But in Revelation 3:20, it says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open. God is not hiding things from you because he doesn't want you to have them. That's not his heart. He's a good God. He has good things for us. God wants to reveal himself to us. God is a God who does reveal himself. God is a God who speaks so that we can hear. He's a God who wants to be known. This is who God is.
Are we hearing the voice of God? You know, 2,000 years ago, before Jesus was born, the idea of God becoming a man, wrapping himself in flesh, becoming a baby, this idea of God becoming a man, was it hidden from mankind or was it revealed through the scriptures? Yes. The night Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born, was it hidden from humanity or was it revealed? Yes. Herod, all of Jerusalem. What? There was born almost two years ago a Savior was born? We didn't know anything about it. The Magi, thousands of miles away, they knew about it. It was revealed by the angels, right, to the shepherds. It was revealed. Some saw it, some knew it, some didn't. The life of Christ, his life, his death, his glorious resurrection, the good news of the gospel, is it hidden to mankind or is it revealed? Yes. God reveals himself. He wants to be known. But there's something about it where he's on purpose, not forcing everybody to follow him. Do you want to know me? If you don't want to know me, then go live your life the way you want to live it. Do you want me? Do you want to hear my voice? Draw near to me. Then I'll draw near to you. Has God already revealed? Has he done everything for us? He's already done everything for us. And yet, things seem so difficult and so hidden. It's both. I talked about 2,000 years ago. I talked about when Christ was born, his life, the gospel, still today. What about today? December 3rd, Sunday, 2017. Is Jesus, his plans for your life, his voice calling your name, is it hidden to you or is it revealed? My answer is yes. I see Jesus, and yet there's so much I don't see. I hear Jesus, and yet there's so much I don't hear. I see his handiwork in all of creation. There's times where I see it. I see a beautiful sunrise, and I just, man, God, you're beautiful. What you created is amazing. I have eyes to see. I can see Jesus. I hear his voice. I testify. I can hear Jesus talk to me. I know him. Somewhat like Elf. Anyone seen the movie Elf? Yeah. Santa! I know him! He's so excited. I know Santa! There's something about that where I know Jesus. I know my Jesus. And there's people that I see that don't know him. And there's something within my heart that says, man, I know Jesus. I wish I could just give you my knowledge and my experience. And I could just put it inside of you. I know him. I know him. At the same time, if I'm honest, there's so much I don't know about him. Some of that, it's well with my soul because he's God. He's mysterious. He's an infinite God, and I'm a finite being, so there's no way my mind can wrap around God. Of course, I don't know all of God. I'm okay with that. But the parts of me that's not okay is when God lovingly corrects me, and he shows me, God, Ryan, I prepared this time of refreshing for you. I engineered circumstances to have just enough time for you to spend time away with me. And I even had my Holy Spirit remind you. And you glanced at that hidden treasure, and you chose to go do something else. There's things that God has hidden that I was meant to discover, and I chose something else. There's so much of God that is right there, that's been revealed. And I'm too busy. I don't want to play hide and seek. And as we wrap up the service, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? As I said, I think there's some principles and truths that are for all of us, but I think there's some of us in this room
that you're going through something. There's a situation, there's a circumstance where God seems hidden to you. God, where are you? I don't hear your voice. I don't see you. I don't see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Those shepherds over there, you revealed yourself to them. They didn't do anything to earn it. They were just watching their sheep, and then you sent angels to reveal yourself to them. And I'm struggling over here, and you haven't sent anything my way. And God is saying to you this morning, open up your eyes. I'm here. Open up ye gates. Let the King of Glory come in. My desire is to reveal myself to you. I've actually already done it. Would you let me come in? I've been standing knocking at the door of your heart. Would you respond? Would you come after me? And so we close the service. If that's you, there's just something where you need your eyes opened. You need your ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in this situation. Would you just stand with me as we close the service? If that's you, you need to respond.